Over the weekend, Justine Annan Ardan solidified her position as the top female tennis player in the world, and Roger Federer became the number one male player. They had victories in the Australian Open, the first of this year's four major tennis championships. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Glad the Super Bowl ended 5 minutes ago.
Not a big surprise that Federer would win, but his opponent in the final was a surprise.
Really, he'd been the invisible man for the last 3 years, Murat Safin, who was going to be the next great star 3 years ago in tennis when he beat Pete Sampras to win the U.S. Open, and then went through what so many young tennis players do, the syndrome of too much money, too much partying, too much agents, too much. And fortunately for him, he was injured last year and had to reassess whether he wanted to be a tennis player or not, and decided he did. Came into the Australian Open ranked 86th in the world, proceeded to beat number one Andy Roddick in the quarterfinals in five sets, and then Andre Agassi in the semis in five sets. Simply didn't have enough left in the tank in the final against Federer, but he announced his rearrival as a factor in tennis this week.
Well, having Safin back on top of his game can only make the men's game more interesting.
Really does, Bob, because now you've got Federer, who won Wimbledon, and who many people think may be the next great
situation. And when your time's called, your number's called, you got to try to go out there and do the best you can.
The Patriots looking for a second Super Bowl title in 3 years from 41 yards. Looks good.
As seen by millions on CBS TV, Vinatieri did it again. His kick 2 years ago beat the St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl. And just like 2 years ago, it was Tom Brady, not Vinatieri, who won the game's Most Valuable Player award. Brady threw three touchdown passes last night and calmly led New England on the clinching drive. More fodder for those who like to compare Brady to legendary San Francisco quarterback Joe Montana. Brady says thanks, but not yet.
You know, he's a benchmark for a quarterback in this league, and the way he played under pressure and the way he succeeded and thrived in tight situations, I mean, he was an incredible player, and there's no way, you know, I'm even close to that.
4 years in the NFL, two Super Bowl MVP awards. Some would say Tom Brady is closer than he thinks. And some would also say that Brady's counterpart last night, Jake Delhomme, has taken a giant leap towards stardom himself. 29-year-old Delhomme threw three touchdown passes and almost won a Super Bowl. Not bad for a player who was never even drafted and who was a career backup until this season. None of that was consolation, however. Delhomme talked about how bad he felt despite a brilliant performance. He ended his news conference wistfully when a reporter asked, "What about next year's Super Bowl?"
Well, you know, you always think you're going to be back. You always think you're going to be back. You hope to God you can come back.
Thank you, Jake.
Thanks, Jerry.
Indeed, many players and teams play a Super Bowl and think how easy it is, until they try to do it a second time. The Patriots, however, having won 15 straight games and two championships in 3 years, they are making it look easy. Tom Goldman, NPR News, Houston.
Over the weekend, Justine Annan Ardan solidified her position as the top female tennis player in the world, and Roger Federer became the number one male player. They had victories in the Australian Open, the first of this year's four major tennis championships. Commentator John Feinstein joins me now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Glad the Super Bowl ended 5 minutes ago.
Not a big surprise that Federer would win, but his opponent in the final was a surprise.
Really, he'd been the invisible man for the last 3 years, Murat Safin, who was going to be the next great star 3 years ago in tennis when he beat Pete Sampras to win the U.S. Open, and then went through what so many young tennis players do, the syndrome of too much money, too much partying, too much agents, too much. And fortunately for him, he was injured last year and had to reassess whether he wanted to be a tennis player or not, and decided he did, came into the Australian Open ranked 86th in the world, proceeded to beat number one Andy Roddick in the quarterfinals in five sets, and then Andre Agassi in the semis in five sets. Simply didn't have enough left in the tank in the final against Federer, but he announced his rearrival as a factor in tennis this week.
Well, having Safin back on top of his game can only make the men's game more interesting.
Really does, Bob, because now you've got Federer, who won Wimbledon, and who many people think may be the next great player, along with Andy Roddick. Will that be the rivalry? Or will Safin be involved? Or Juan Carlos Ferrero? The more good players you have in the game, the better these major championships are. That's what tennis lacked for most of the last 10 years, when if you didn't have Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi, there was nobody.
Agassi hinted after his semifinal loss that he might not be back. What do you think?
Well, I think it's exactly what he said, you know, that when you reach this age, you have to take it year by year. He's going to be 34. He and Steffi Graf now have two children. The travel is obviously a burden, but if you look at the tennis he's playing, there's no reason to think he can't go on. The semifinal he lost to Safin was as good a tennis match as I've seen in years, and he continues to be a marvel as he moves on. But you never know. A year from now, maybe he and Graf will have three children, and he'll say enough already.
And in Ardan, beat countrywoman Kim Clijsters in the final, and haven't we seen that act before?
Yeah, we sure have. Third time in the last four Grand Slams that they've been in the final together, and exactly the same result. And in Ardan beating Clijsters, and really right now, it's become a two-woman show in tennis, and that's what I was talking about. You need more than that. Venus Williams, just coming back off her injury, lost in the third round to essentially a double specialist, Lisa Raymond. And we don't know when we're going to see Serena Williams again. I hope she'll be around for the French Open.
So the women's game needs healthy Williams sisters.
Absolutely. It needs more than two players. But if you had all four of those, then you'd have something really good going on in women's tennis, which we haven't seen for a number of years.
Where are the American players on either side besides the Williams sisters?
Well, that's a good point. Lindsay Davenport is back playing now, but Jennifer Capriati was injured, and we just don't know where the next great young American female players are coming. Of course, the Williams sisters, they're really old at 23 and 22. I guess we have to start talking about their retirement pretty soon, too, don't we?
Well, did they stop training young people in this game?
No, they're training more and more. But what happens is, as I've said to you before, tennis is such a burnout sport that for everyone who rises to the top the way the Williams sisters do, and coincidentally their father kept them from playing full time until they were 18, there are people like Jennifer Capriati who are pushed too hard and end up burning out, and in many cases we never see them again.
Thank you, John.
Goodbye, Bob.
The comments of John Feinstein, whose most recent book is Open, Inside the Ropes at Bethpage Black.